Hey, we're back. Another week of Saki Bama Go-Go.
Yes.
It looks like we are working correctly now.
We are.
If you listen to the first half, the audio might be kind of the first half of our BOGO Hour of Power, asterisk. I'll let you do asterisk from now on. I'm talking about how I moved the desk. And I
kind
of
like the emphasis of us both doing it. And saying
my acknowledgement of dumbness, and you're making sure I know my words are dumb.
Yeah, I like that.
So if you listen, we were like, yay, the audio is so great, and boo, it really wasn't, because whatever. I hate moving computer and audio stuff that even you can take as many pictures as you want, something's not going to be right when you hit play. That's a guarantee. I don't know, but yep. It seems to be semi-okay now. Anyway, my name is Mal, with me as always.
Promi.
And this is Saki Bama Go-Go, show number something or another, 9. It's show number 9 if you're keeping track at home, which I know you are. The ratings have come in. The Saki Bama Go-Go is a huge success thanks to you, the listener. We're
listeners.
Listeners. Okay, it was one, now it's three.
Yeah, I know.
And wow, we're so bad.
We're climbing up the charts. We tripled our listening audience. What? Yeah. That's growth that any major business would kill for.
If they tell two friends and they tell two friends and yeah. So no, actually, but it's kind of exciting to hear that, you know, you're gaining some traction and people like your shows, you know. A lot of the radio and podcasting world is just floundering in obscurity because there's 20 trillion of them now. But yep. You sent a pretty interesting article.
Talking about the daily...
the daily commutes, you know, and the daily ones. I think the daily ones probably really gain traction because of people, like, on commutes. They know they're going to get fresh content from you, and it's just like you're...
Plus, one of those is the New York Times, which doesn't hurt either.
Yeah. Podcasting is really popular with, like, people that... Like Mark Maron and, like people that already kind of have a huge following, you know.
But I mean, but that said, though, yeah, I can definitely see how, you know, having consistent content on a daily basis and having it on your schedule, like you're not getting into your car in the morning and listening to whatever, you know, like, you could get used to listening to a 45-minute block that starts 3/4 of the way in every morning on your drive-in where you don't know what the hell they're talking about when the show started. And that's the reality, and that's one of the things we don't like about live TV anymore is the fact that you can't watch it on your schedule, which you know, podcasts allow. So that I could see that. That would make sense. So the moral of the story is we either need to figure out how to do this daily, or we need to like break this up into a daily drip.
If I actually ever could figure out a way to make even remotely close to the same money doing this, I would be doing this ad nauseum. People would be like, oh my god, he's on every show on every day in every way, he's on every show, because that's all I would do. I could sit here and talk for years just doing
nothing. Take Howard Stern on as the king of something relevant in media, the king of whatever, all media, or at least podcasting media,
but we'll see. Until we figure out that angle, I guess
still
we're
the
stuck
king of dead media.
Just doing thank you, I guess we're just stuck doing it once a week. All right, here's some music.
Are you stupid or something?
I'm as stupid as a stupid does.
Yeah. I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
What's happened? Hey, all right, that was Ass Fort, my friends. Ass Fort from the album Complete Ass Fortery, which is why I bought it. They know their market.
Which is you.
I played Get on My Knees, Held at the Long Saw. Held at the Long Saw. Okay. Intelligence and Keep My End Up. Wow. And the one thing you have to get used to, like in the other show, we have the show Indie Circuit. And I'll drop in some songs. Well, that's it till the break. Yeah, when you play the punk and grunge and garage stuff, you can drop in 8 songs and we still have about 4 or 5 more minutes to talk because they're about in a minute and a half of music. So that's the way life goes. I carried in this week's win. I was at a local Walmart and they
finally, some of
the games have started dropping to the $5
really?
Markup. And Adventure Time was one I was looking at forever for the Wii U. See, the Wii U is a dead system. So I'm like, these sealed games have to be like dropping at some point. So, and then I got Monster High. I'll never probably open that one, but I was like, well, I'm getting it. And then I got Lego City Undercover and Codename Steam.
My son plays the Lego City one Undercover. That's a good one.
Yeah, on the DS. I haven't played my DS for a long time. Kind of sad. And then and I saw them for $5 each. I was like, well, I'm getting all those, you know. I think they're going to start dropping more because, again, no one bought the Wii U. And just there's these games
eventually
sitting
they're
going to
phase them out.
Yeah, they have to. They need the shelf space, you know.
Yeah.
So luckily I was walking by. I was like, yes, score. So $5 each. The Adventure Time was one I was actually sitting there stewing because it was a 1996 or whatever like that. I was like, I don't know, man. Do I want this? It's a highly rated game. It's a good game, you know. And I was like, I don't want to spend $20, or do I? You know. And then finally, the next 2 weeks later, I walk in. I was like, oh yes, give me it. I got the last one of them, and I was like, yeah, thank God.
You know, pricing on stuff at places like Walmart, really Target. Target is the one that confuses me because they will put things on clearance that don't make any sense for clearance.
You're like, wait, what? You walk around the end cap, and there's some crap laying there, and you're like, wait, this is like a thing. This is like.
Like, I saw something online that some Targets had the docks for the Nintendo Switch on clearance for 50% off, but it's not all of them.
Yeah, you said that.
And, like, there was one in Clearwater. So, you know, this is like an $80 thing, and the one in Clearwater was clearing them all out for $40.
You're like, wait, what?
The one in St. Pete, the one in Gateway, the one in Largo, none of them. I mean, they had them in stock, but they weren't on clearance.
Well, and I grabbed up some of those clearance Switch games from Target.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're like, well, what, why, you know, like you don't understand what they're doing. It's all voodoo.
Yeah,
you
know? I there's some science behind it for that particular location, but yeah, it's just
I don't know. And then if you're just lucky enough to get it, you get it. Oh well, these are the follies of life.
Every city has its downtown area, the place where it's all happening, the bright lights, the fun, and the crazy times. Why don't you go downtown for a little action? That's where they're waiting. Main Street Women. Main Street Women, the motion picture that lets you in behind the scenes on what's really going on in a big city. The girls, the bars, and the tough guys who run it all. Main Street Women. You'll go into those private apartments where girls use all their energies just to please a man in every way. Main Street Women. It's all happening now in the year's most shocking look at today's wild lifestyles. Don't miss it. Main Street Women. In color rated R for adults. No one under 17 admitted without parent. From Independent to International, Main Street Women want you.
Be careful what you shoot at. Most things in here don't react too well to bullets.
Yeah. Calling the last of the time. says here you robbed a hospital. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, I'm not guilty.
That's not what the other lawyer said.
All right, that was the Go Devils. I started off hot. We went with the Go Devils Super Stuff. I played Go Beat last time around, just out of reach, like this monitor, and Taste of Poison. I inserted the like this monitor part on my own.
Yes, that was Mal's commentary.
They're kind of funny. They're like one of these little poppy punk kind of bands, you know?
Poppy punk?
Yeah, like kind of happy time.
I was going to say, does that mean they do opium, or does that mean...
Yes, probably. No, not at all. We're sorry, Go Devils. I didn't mean that. Yeah. But when you put...
He meant pop... Called well, pop even, music punk.
Even like that, what was that?
So what you're saying is they're listenable punk.
Yeah, they are. Like garage.
Easy listening punk.
Like easy listening garage. I don't know. I don't even know what to classify it. I'm sure there's some subculture of music that this guy doesn't know his subcultures. I don't, because I hate when you look at it. Oh, is that electro? I don't know. There's 70,000 little tiny micro things that I don't do. I have like nine genres of music. Maybe even
just
less.
Pretend you're going into an old Specs music store. It's essentially like you have rock, country, and alternative.
That's about
an alternative is where everything that doesn't fit into one of those other. Okay, there's jazz. There's also jazz and easy listening. But so alternative is where everything that does not fit into those fadcore. Soundtracks. So five. Everything that does not fit into those five classical. Okay, so six. Everything that does not fit into those. I'm gonna be by the time I get done with this. So,
that's the joke.
Yeah. Everything that doesn't fit into those six categories goes into alternative, well, new age. Okay, so seven. But the point is that alternative had 10,000 Maniacs as well as Rage Against the Machine. So go explain that to anyone.
It's so funny. Like, when you get into those, like, super subcultures, you're like, come on, man. And some people are so into it that they know them all, and you're like, huh? And I like music a lot. You know, I'm always listening to music. But my brain could not handle that kind of meaningless information.
What we're talking about reminds me of like an episode of Portlandia. I don't know if you've ever watched that or not.
No, I haven't.
But it's essentially a show where they sort of make fun of people that go take everything to the.
That's like everything in my world.
Yeah, you should watch it. You're either gonna hate it or you're gonna think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I tried to watch some of that Sneaky Pete. I don't think it's for me.
No.
Sometimes
I haven't seen it yet, but
see, between Prime and Netflix, mm-hmm. they're really battling to take over TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, so we're kind of winning. I don't like most of them, but it's okay. You know, it's neat that
it's
we're
just like regular TV.
Yeah. I don't like most of them. Yeah, exactly. Futurama's long gone, and now I'm still watching MST old reruns.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
All right, we are back. You know, I had a kind of a goofy question for you, and this might be a little bit too deep for Saki Bamagogo. You let me know if I should.
It's
put
a goofy
break.
Deep question.
Well,
or you just mean it's a goofy question I'll turn into a 20-minute dissertation.
Possibly, but no, I don't mean it that way.
You're like actually, Krusty the Clown in reality. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I stepped away from media, from news, from Facebook. I kind of removed myself for a long time because America was so filled with hate over the upcoming political events and then aftermath. Now, and then I was like, okay, well, it's been like 3 or 4 months. Usually America's time.
Okay, if you haven't, don't go back in.
No, I have, oh, but I mean, damn. Like, yeah, that's the problem. Like, we used to have like this memory of about 2.5 weeks after a massacre or after kids were murdered by some nut. But this one, are we ever going to not be fractured? Like, this broke the country in pieces, and I don't think we'll ever come back to a country again. Like, I don't think we're ever going to recover, because you can put up a thing like, oh, I love red M&Ms. Next comment. Well, that's just because of Trump. Then the next comment. No, that's because you are ignorant. Trump is really great. And you're like, oh, my God, it's been...
Oh, Hillary voter here. Yeah, that's why you don't like red M&Ms.
I don't think we're ever going to be a whole country again. I think the division has cut through so deep. That's it. Am I wrong? Like, maybe I'm being so, I'm such a drama queen. But I mean, man, it's been so long and it just won't let up. Like, it doesn't let up.
Well, I'll say this. It's impossible to say because there are certain factors at play now. Yeah. Primarily things like 24-hour news cycles and the internet, which we've never had in any other point in history. However, I do listen to a lot of stuff on commentary, political commentary, social psychology. And one of the things that I hear repeatedly said is that we as a nation are the most divided we have been in decades.
Yeah.
Multiple decades, which means that by a lot of people's estimation, there have been times historically when things are this bad or possibly worse in terms of
Vietnam divided, era or yeah, some of that stuff. I mean, there might be some.
Yeah. And that gives me a little bit of optimism to thinking that perhaps what happens is that at some point everybody gets tired of the BS.
I was tired long ago. People, I was tired before the whole thing started.
But I know. But you're one of the people that weren't interested in even getting down the path that ultimately led us to where we're at. But there were plenty of people that were.
Yeah. That vested interests for what interest is. Sorry, everyone.
The thing that makes it complicated, though, is that we have unique factors at play that make it a lot easier for the situation to remain amplified and to get and to pull new people into these arguments. And because of the tribalist behavior that we as humans have, it's very easy. Essentially, the idea that we find common ground quickly as a species seems like it would be a good thing. But the problem is that as soon as you and I have something in common, and we're in a room with a third person.
Get them.
Exactly. We know, and if there's four people and you and I have something in common, even though those two people may not have something in common to have their own tribe or their own group, they're immediately seen as others, which makes us less likely to see them, either one of them, as an individual with their own thoughts and their own unique behaviors and own reason for doing things.
I should find some of your podcasts because I'm really dumb.
The sooner you latch on and form a social identity around a group, you immediately become an us against them about a lot of things. And what's interesting is you can study this because you can take two groups of people that are fighting over something because they're already dealing with their own tribalism, and then introduce a third group that has a perspective that these two groups can agree on, but that group can't. And suddenly the two that were fighting will stop fighting to fight with the third group. Yeah. Like they will take the common ground that they have to basically gang up and ostracize the third group. So, I remember a quote I heard a long time ago, and it sounded so stupid when the guy said it, but he's like, man, one day aliens are going to come down and we're all going to have to come together as a species to fight them. And it was said in such a, like, it sounded so ridiculous, and it was.
No, that's the truth.
But the truth of the matter is that, yeah, if we had a greater
threat,
we would all drop everything to address that. Yeah. And of course, as soon as that threat was gone, we'd go back to our.
What were we fighting about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. that's the thing I was kind of thinking of. Like, the only thing that would get us to be less divided would be World War III or an alien invasion. But that's not true either. We would still be jerks. We would just be jerks trying to not.
Well, eventually there'd be alien sympathizers, and
all right.
But that would take time.
I think we all know what's coming now. Here is time for the 5678s.
It's in your nature to destroy yourselves.
Yeah. Major drag, huh?
It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna have.
All right. Oh, you know what? On the heels of that and our off air, things are getting pretty down, man. Let's talk about something funny.
Okay. How about yesterday? It was International Mario Day.
Ah, cool. I didn't celebrate it though. I was too busy killing myself in my house, working and cleaning.
And I don't really know exactly what that means, but apparently it's not just Nintendo because I read an article.
Really?
It's not just Nintendo because right now, as a matter of fact, if you go into Google Maps, you can actually set Mario as your avatar for like a week or two, for like 10 days they're doing it. That's you can awesome. Add, you know, and he does the let's go when the, and it's a little Mario Kart character that travels down your math path.
Wow, you're having a tough time. Your map path. Yeah. I'll take care of it.
Thank you. And there's a Easter egg. If you do something, tap on something 100 times, you get the one up sound or something. I mean,
oh, get out of here.
And that's Google.
So cool.
And I'm assuming because Nintendo doesn't really want to pay for anything ever. No. You know, like they're the only console maker that insists on making money. Yeah. That are not selling their consoles as a loss leader, and they don't go too crazy with the advertising. I'm assuming that they didn't pay anything for Amazon or for.
They are turning for, some of that Google stuff. They're turning a little bit around with their Nintendo, is it, with their policies. I think they're trying to gain traction into that. Well, we need our name out there a little bit. They know that those last two slaps have been pretty tough to take. So,
yeah.
You know, but again, they're making money. They're fine.
I mean, and that's how they can be in third place in the console market. And then and there's talk about Microsoft stepping out because they're in second. Is I think because of the business way that they're handling it. Even with Nintendo having a slump, for a multi-year slump, they're still this hugely valuable company because they don't, you know, every console they make money on. They don't sell it as a loss leader. I remember when the PS3 came out and they retailed for like $600. It was estimated that it was costing Sony $900 roughly to make every one. A $600 console that the manufacturer is losing $300 on.
That's insanity. And can you imagine that? Like,
and that's probably exactly what they were saying in the Nintendo boardroom when they were looking at that.
They put the slide up and they started laughing.
They're like, our consoles cost us $150 to make, and we're selling them for $250.
Get the hell out of here. That's so funny. It's just different approaches, you know. And I've always kind of thought. Not always. This isn't the Japanese way of doing business and that kind of stuff. I always kind of admired it a little bit. It's not perfect, you know. Sometimes they're bullheaded, will cost them greatly, you know, for not doing something. But I don't know. They really stick to it, and I always thought they built great stuff. But
yeah.
I'm a chump.
But I think from the outside, though, because we look at the way these other companies operate, we think when they don't have like these overnight successes or this runaway stuff that they're in trouble. And it's kind of like, well, no, because they're actually building in profit every step of the way. So they don't have to sell 50
Sony's
million.
Fine, you know.
Yeah. And you know, just like Nintendo with the Wii U, we talk about how
it
underperformed
failure,
and it was a dismal failure. But at the end of the day, it may not have really been. Obviously, it was profitable for them because they don't lose money on the console.
It just wasn't a runaway freight train like the Wii was.
Yeah.
Even that became, at the end, was almost like one of those joke consoles because nobody was making anything like groundbreaking or relevant. There was really good games throughout its run.
Towards the end, it was shovelware. If it didn't come from Nintendo, it was shovelware.
Just total crap. But that was the way the NES was.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the lifespan of any company. Well, no, wait. Nintendo had their... Not the NES, because that was the one where they made everyone...
Oh, the Nintendo seal of approval.
Yeah, and that's because they saw what happened to Atari.
Yeah.
And they were like, no.
Like, we're not getting E.T. on ours. No.
You dishonor your family by showing me this E.T. So that's pretty funny. All right, let's drop in some music. We'll be right back.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
We'll be right back.
loves chocolate. Scotty, don't.
What? I like chocolate fine. I just...
Scotty, don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is very familiar. Hang on, let me do what I do. Would you stop?
How about it, Owen?
How about a what?
How about it, Owen?
What are you...
How about it, Owen?
I don't even...
How about it, Owen?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you don't, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty, do?
Ah, I sure like to play the bat because, boy, they sure shake your brains up. I played The Fly, Jailhouse Rock, and The Jack. I hope it has... interesting. I wish I could play, like, the originals right next to them, but we don't have those licenses.
Well,
Jailhouse Rock from Elvis, and here's another take. I have to shill a little bit, so hang on. Make sure you go to our Facebook page. Each week I put up the bands we played and hyperlink and everything like that, and plus you could like it and follow it, and that'd be nice for my ego. So you can go to Saki Bamagogo, and of course the Indie Circuit, which is our other show that we love to pitch. And I also wanted to say, if you could, make sure you go to projectpinball.org. They put pinball machines in hospitals for sick kids, and that's kind of nice.
Well, that's really cool.
It's kind of nice for a kid to have something to look forward to. They don't have much. Some of these kids are really in bad shape, and a little bit of playtime. And I heard mental institutions help as something, a reward for being good for kids that have some kind of like little mental problems. You know, like if they're good that week, they can go play for 10 minutes or 20 minutes.
That's cool.
It all helps. All right, that's it for this week. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Promy.
And we will see y'all next week with more Saki Bomb A Go Go. End scene.